producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. The buzz in the backyard, something it's been for weeks now, ISIS. Yeah, once again, more information. This time the information is about a study that came out saying that, yeah, in fact, we did know that ISIS was dangerous and they were mobilizing and they were gathering more steam and had a lot of ways to fund themselves. So as the president grapples with, what do we do? You got to think, man, who do we level the criticism at? What were we doing as far as Islamic State? Because they're pretty patient. So they've been strategizing for a long time now. Do the math, 2011. They borrowed pretty much one little tactical piece from their predecessors, Al-Qaeda, who used IEDs to prevent any of our forces from retaking the ground during decades long of war, if you remember. But that strategy has been pretty effective for them. Last week, Iraqi troops were pretty much slowed by mines planted along highways in the city of Tikrit, causing a real stalemate in a counteroffensive against these Islamic State fighters. Repeatedly, they are stymieing some of the blowback to what's in traditionally to how you fight these guys. So coming up in this hour of America Tonight, he never lacks opinions. Rabbi Spiro joins us, and he throws in what he thinks is the administration's fault for not acting quickly enough as ISIS was rallying and gathering more people, recruiting them to their cause. So the Islamists are seizing chunks of territory all over Iraq, Syria as well, but that's nothing new. And then you have the Islamists who are near Israel. So the Middle East pretty much is a quicksand trap now. No matter where you step, just like I explained with the minefields pretty much, the IED minefields, so that the Iraqi troops had nowhere to step, nowhere to go. Why it was so tough to get close, to get near to Tikrit, with 110 miles to go to Baghdad. Holding these guys off is getting tougher. I mean, even from the rooftops of an abandoned gas station, the Kurds are trying to, you know, they're there with binoculars, guns, everything they can think of, trying to do whatever they can to counterattack these Islamic fighters. But yet they keep coming back for more. They keep finding other ways to foil whoever it is that's on their tail. And to me, that's the scariest thing. That they have it down cold, folks. I mean, they have it down cold. All right, on the lighter side, too, at the tail end of the show, what are you doing for the Labor Day weekend? I know that I was looking up some of the statistics. In fact, I even threw them out the other night. And some of you have sent me travel plans. I thought that was pretty interesting where you're going. You know, the over 50 miles plus a majority of Americans are doing that. For some reason, that's what Labor Day brings. It's not so much you're flying somewhere, but instead you're driving somewhere. So the roads would be jammed, I would imagine, heading into the weekend and then coming out of the weekend, because this is it for summer. And how many of us want to let go of the summer? Not a lot of us. unless you have kids and you're really excited for the kids to go back to school, or your grandparents and you're helping out and you're babysitting and you love it, but it's time to go back to school. I've seen some of the greatest thing about social media. I've seen some of the greatest photos of kids of all ages, and you can tell they're in a brand new outfit. And they're standing there with a lunch bag or box, or they've got something in their hand, whether it's a backpack or whatever. And this is the first day of school. And they have big, bright smiles. And I mean, they just look so cleaned up. And they're just excited to go. You take that same picture in May or June, it's like before and after. And probably you could do the same thing with parents and grandparents and anybody else who's helping with child care. That would be the thing to do. A before, right when they're going to school, the excitement, and then an after for everybody involved in your kid's situation. And make an album of that. I think that'd be pretty cool, since the selfie thing is so big. Let's see photos of that. You know, not just the before and after of the makeovers. Let's see what happens when you actually slug through an entire school year. In fact, this year is interesting because studies are coming out that teenagers need more sleep. Duh. Did they not know that before? Right? We were all teenagers. Didn't you always want to sleep? Of course. So because of that, because teenagers need more sleep and the school districts need better scores on some of their standardized tests, they've altered the school year in some cases. So what they're doing is, if they need about 9.5 hours of sleep every night to function best, when was the last time you got 9.5 hours of sleep? If they need 9.5 hours of sleep, they've changed sometimes when school starts and when it gets out. Saying it's later start to the school day is better, and if they get out later, that's okay. Because the American Academy of Pediatrics says teenage sleepiness is a public health issue. And if we had later start times for school, we'd have smarter kids, happier kids, kids that didn't fall asleep in class, because they would get enough sleep, since the average teenager doesn't want to fall asleep before 11 o'clock at night. So to fix the problem, they're changing some school districts are changing the middle school and high school hours. Ugh. Then that means, you know, we do the whole clock flip thing. They're getting home in the dark, depending on when it is. But I get the exhaustion thing. If 28%, you know how I love numbers, right? If 28% of high school students say they were falling asleep at school at least once a week, and 1 in 5 say they fall asleep during homework with that kind of frequency, well, the answer is probably to try to change that. If that's the, you know, that's your body changing, and that's adolescence, then, you know, that's that whole melatonin thing. That's when you start to secrete melatonin, and it's telling you time to go to sleep. Isn't it funny? Then when you get older, you need melatonin to sleep. So you're running to the pharmacy to get melatonin. If only it would stay the same. If only it would stay the same. All right, hang with us. More to come here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. places, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
After 70 years, so why you go step far, still unlock the door.
Some Republicans want to say that the president's not doing enough to describe what he's thinking, and there are some Republicans who say the president has described too much of what he's thinking. That's why we're not focused on the politics. The most important, powerful, and effective tool in the president's toolbox is kinetic military action. And there is no doubt that forceful military action can play a role in stabilizing the security situation in Iraq.
All right, so you hear it there. That's Josh Ernst talking about what came out of the White House. He's the White House spokesperson now, as you all know. So, yeah, the best thing in his toolkit, huh? I'll tell you, man, the pinpointed idea of the pinpointed strikes and the fact that we already have special forces, Navy SEALs, and the British elite that have gone after other insurgents, and they're doing the same thing. I mean, for goodness sake, that's what's happening here and has already been happening. And for 4 years, we've known about ISIS, that comes out of West Point, a counterterrorism report. You know, the plot just sort of thickens here when it comes to what do you know, what do you say, what are we going to do here, and, you know, the world keeps spinning. We're just a handful of people on a spinning planet, folks. And the leader of the free world, I think, is really trying to straddle a couple of different themes. And off of the same concept, though, where all of a sudden, especially, it's springing up. You know, time and time again, I get it, and I say it, because, you know, would you throw Dr. Oz out? Would you push Muhammad Ali out of the country? Of course not. Are there people who love Islam and are not violent people? Absolutely. But are there an unbelievable amount of terror networks who would love nothing better than to do whatever kind of destruction or mayhem that they can cause to say it's in the name of Allah, you know, Allah Akbar, because that's always what's yelled, and that's always what's yelled in the courtroom. I mean, those are the facts. So why do they dance around terrorism? Why do they dance around specifically the Muslim terrorists, Islamic jihadists? Why are we dancing around this? Saudi Arabia hides. We let them to continue to hide, and we don't prompt them to do anything else because of course, the money and the oil. But how does this happen where Israel is suddenly like the bad guy because they go after Hamas, and Hamas tries to use their own Palestinian people against the Israelis? And then Hezbollah, oh, you know, not everyone's so bad in Hezbollah, really. Muslim Brotherhood, woo, so bad we back them. And Mohamed Morsi is booted out of office. And there's problems in Egypt. So once again, we back the wrong people. You know, at some point, you just gotta call it like you see it. And time again, you know, in the beginning, especially, oh, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Okay, yeah, I said no. I don't see this point of view. I don't get it. I don't understand straddling the line. I mean, is Obama winning over the terrorists? Are the terrorists going to stay away from the United States because he's not taking a big swipe at ISIS? He's not saying, look, these guys are creeps. We need to cut their heads off and be done with it. Hamas, if we want to order the lists of terrorists, right now ISIS is on top. Al-Qaeda's duking it out on the evil list with Hamas. Hezbollah's right there. Muslim Brotherhood underneath. What is peaceful about those groups when they behead babies, when they do outrageous things to their own people and then spout out anti-American rhetoric? Which, okay, except for there are Americans in their midst that they want help from sometimes, and then immediately will turn. I'm just saying. And we keep hearing these hints. These hints are being dropped of possible attack, future attack. You know, we cannot solve the riddle. We cannot solve everybody's problems. But we sure don't need to create any more enemies like Israel. Why would we shove Israel into the situation they are? Why would we make Benjamin Netanyahu feel like, no, wait a second, at the Strip, let's be fair about this. If we're brokering a deal, you know, you guys have the dome. It's unbelievable to me. You know, it's unbelievable. The Israelis are targets for Hamas. They're digging tunnels. They're laughing all the way while they were digging tunnels. Thank goodness the Israelis found the tunnels and were able to blow them up, and who knows if they've blown them all up. But how do we get to this point? So, if anything, as has been suggested, what is going on with the White House? Massive dysfunction, off message, trying to play all sides to the middle. I don't get it. And then this one comes, and we're going to talk more about ISIS with Rabbi Spiro and some other things related to terror. You know, and frankly, when we check the mailbox, you'll see I'm getting a lot of emails from people who say, I like Obama. I like the idea of Obama. Oh, I was so excited when he won. I'm a Democrat. But now I'm not so excited anymore because I keep looking and seeing what's happening. And some of my friends are saying the same thing. We're not taking sides. We're just saying, yeah, this isn't what we thought it was. So then you have this, the White House, once again, pushing back on this criticism over the reports that they're looking for an international deal on climate change that would do an end around the Senate. And this is, by the way, criticism from Democrats, criticism from Republicans. The New York Times, in fact, reported that the president was working on a voluntary international agreement that would add new commitments to the 92 United Nations Treaty. So they're calling it name and shame. The deal would name and shame countries that don't live up to their commitments to cut emissions. And the new targets are, they're voluntary. You can't force them to honor that. So does that enable the administration to sign the agreement without the Senate's approval, without two-thirds of the Senate approving that you need for the treaties? Of course there's criticism from the Democrats and from the Republicans. Because, once again, the lawmakers are being cut out of that equation. Then the White House, as soon as all of that happens, they come back and they say, well, not so fast. It's all on hold. So don't worry about that. Sorry, you know, that's not what's happening. We know from the UN. The press secretary made it clear that they don't mind entering international agreements without congressional approval. Give me a break. I mean, give me a break to, again, cutting out Congress. I mean, I know how we all feel about Congress, and we have the midterm elections coming out, but I don't think you cut away our legislative branch. I mean, this is pretty impactful, this non-binding agreement. And the reason they say that they're weighing the impact of it, because they're saying that they need to take these steps. So it's important to reduce the causes of climate change, and we're not so sure Congress will get there. So, yeah, maybe we're just going to shame our allies and other people in the treaty, anyone we can get to sign the treaty, into doing it. It seems fruitless to me. And what does the rest of the world think when you're not even asking for the support of the American people? I don't think that looks very good. Yeah, it's okay. We don't have to worry about it. I mean, you know, Congress not supporting it. And here's the thing that's interesting. What they're saying out of the White House when they're oppressed about this, they're saying just because Congress doesn't support it doesn't mean the American people won't support it. That there are a lot of things the American people support right now that Congress doesn't and that Congress has refused to act on. Yeah, well, maybe. But it's a process. And the process is, if we don't like our representatives, then we don't vote for them in the midterm elections. But we don't need the White House to decide for us. Oh, my. Rabbi Spiro on the flip side.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tonight, one of our favorites, Rabbi Spiro, is in our virtual green room. Rabbi, I trust the setup was okay in that virtual room?
Oh, it was very good in green.
Oh, there is a joke mixed in.
Let me tell you something, Kate. When I go over to Fox News, the green room is not green.
I bet it's not. Every time you and I talk, it just seems to get worse and worse, some of the things that we see. Now, there comes this report that, from the White House, that they were trying to explain away different aspects of ISIS and what the group has done, and in light of the horrid, horrid execution of an American journalist, as you know, and in explaining all of that away, where you've got the president who takes a couple of minutes and then he's back off on the golf course and, you know, whatever. But having said that, the story comes out today that we actually, of course, knew ISIS, our intelligence knew that ISIS was forming and that they seemed to be pretty dangerous because they were picking up steam and funding and influencing young people who were disillusioned, and that they, in fact, were starting to become stronger than what we would call Al-Qaeda. Does it surprise you? Probably not. That the administration acted like a deer in headlights? When, how could that be?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not surprised, but they're not deer in headlights. They are chameleons more. They are bears. This administration is composed of two segments. One, who are simply inept. So, yes, they get this information and they get our intelligence, but They just hope that it will all go away. They're not people that are intellectually sound that way. We don't have the best and the brightest in this administration. What you have is ideologues. For example, like Eric Holder, this is a hired gun in the sense by Mr. Obama to implement an agenda, which is basically that the police are bad, and if it was in Harvard, if it was in Ferguson, police are bad, and there's justice only for one side and not justice for regular Americans. There's justice for Black Panthers, but not for regular Americans. So you've got that one facet where these are basically ideologues. They're not inept. They don't know what to do with the information. They hope that it will go away. And they also hope that if they make overtures and appeasement, that somehow ISIS will say, oh, you're a good American. You're not like George Bush or Ronald Reagan or Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, who fought the Barbary pirates. You're a good, understanding American. Well, it doesn't work that way. They just look at us as weak. But then you have the president, and the president, besides not being up to the job, he is not on our side the way a president should be. A president should be, when making decisions, thinking 100% what is best for the American people. Only that should form his decision. I don't see that with this president. I see him as someone who's always worrying about, well, will it be a negative effect on Islam? Will it dishonor Islam? Will it put Islam in a negative light? What will my people in the Islamic world that I respect and that I like and I grew up with, what will they think? And so he's not acting the way a president normally would, who would have this information. They would immediately stop this cancer before it metastasizes. But he's so worried. He doesn't want to attack Islamic land. That's not something that he wants to do. He safeguards their image. So I'm not surprised. I wrote about this 6 years ago. Okay, what I'm worried about is that if we were attacked by some type of nuclear bomb, let's say from Iran, if they had it within the next 2 years and they were able to deliver it here, I don't know that he would really defend us the way a president should. If it meant having to bomb Iran and their facilities to stop them dead cold from being able to send over another bomb, but by doing so, maybe 200,000 Iranian Muslims would have to be killed. I don't know if he would do it. I don't know if he would choose the life of Americans over life of Muslims in Muslim countries. I'm not confident about where his loyalties lie.
No, that's scary, I'll tell you that. And that's a lot of the conversation, I think, across talk radio, and not just necessarily conservative talk radio. I've heard this in some other areas, too, by the way. Here's another thing to look at. What do you make of Americans, and then Europeans as well, but especially Americans, who are members of ISIS? There was one that was found dead, as you know, after a firefight, and just proving the point, wow. I mean, Americans leaving this country, going over there to fight with guys who are beheading people and raping people and forcing them to flee Christianity or whatever religion they believe in.
Beheading babies. You see, these are Nazis, but actually they're worse than Nazis. They go into Christian communities, these Muslim groups, and they're Muslim groups. You know, the president interrupted his golf game last week to basically tell us that Islam is a religion of peace. Basically, his message was that, well, what ISIS is doing is not a reflection of Islam. What Al-Qaeda does is not a reflection of Islam. What ISIS does, what the Muslim Brotherhood does, is not a reflection of Islam. Hamas, Hezbollah, it's never a reflection of Islam, although they're quoting the Quran all the time. And they're being blessed by their imams, and they have hundreds of thousands and millions of people following these groups eagerly, and they have tens of millions talking about the jihad, but it's never somehow a reflection of Islam in the mind of President Obama. He has a very sanitized, childlike view of Islam, and he's trying to force that on us and make us ignore reality. So what do I think about this? I'll tell you, I'm not surprised. And I'm so happy you asked that question, because people have this assumption that if you're born in this country in America, you think like an American.
Yeah.
You love America, that you've somehow adopted and live by the American principles. And it's just not so. There are many Americans born here who hate this country and who would like to see many in this country hurt, not just destroyed, but hurt. We have this in this country. Listen, there are some that have come over here or their parents are Muslim and they identify with these Muslim groups and were infidels and they feel a sense of celebration in being part of the jihadist army to take over the infidel lands. To them, this is very romantic. And they don't care that America gave them freedom or gave their parents freedom. They're caught up in the romance of the jihad. You have many in the inner cities, and I got to say the truth, in the black community, because a couple of these that we found were from the black community.
Yeah.
And they've been taught by so many people like Jackson and Sharpton and maybe Eric Holder. They've been taught to hate this country, that this country was terrible to them.
Yeah.
And so they don't like this country. Mm-hmm. When you give a young man, Kate, who's 25 years old and 30, strong young man, you give him welfare. That's the worst thing in the world, because men are supposed to work at that age. When you give him welfare, what you're basically saying is, I'm trying to make up for past sins. That's why. Otherwise, who would give money? Who gives a 30-year-old man, 6'2", strong and healthy, money every day and say, don't work, I'm going to support you? The message is, I'm guilty. I'm trying to get favor from you, forgiveness. So the question, oh, you must have done something wrong. So they're raised with this idea, because of all the white guilt, that this is a bad country. And so they want to get back at the country. They're not civilized, many of them, in the way that we are, and have certain sensitivities. They've never been taught that.
Yeah.
We've been taught that we've got to be tolerant and you've got to love other people. But they haven't. They've gotten away with it because somehow they're the victim.
Yeah,
and
well
finally
said.
You've got a lot of these very wealthy white kids who hate their country. Look at Bill Ayers. Look at Bernadette Dorn. Look at Patty Hearst. These were all very wealthy white kids that were taught to hate their country, and they blew up their country. Bill Ayers blew up the country. I mean, Obama's mentor, and he's now teaching in a college, and he still hates the country. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, surprised that that's what's happening. Great explanation, absolutely. Starting at such a young age, and especially being viable and not working and not feeling as though they were getting their fair share. Well said. One last one, James Foley. You saw the heinous execution of James Foley. Did the administration handle the aftermath correctly there?
I don't know. What I didn't like, though, President Obama's been silent for 6 years regarding the genocide against Christians in Africa, especially. It's been done at the hands of Islam. Coptic Christians were killed. He said nothing, and it was done at the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. And over a million Christians were killed in Nigeria, Sudan, and other parts of Africa, and he said nothing. And he said nothing basically this whole time when Christian communities were being killed, but now he was forced to finally come out and say something, and he devoted half of his message as saying, but it has nothing to do with Islam, nothing to do with Islam. It's almost as if he's insensitive to all the Christian death, and he just will, he'll get up from the golf game or he'll get up and say something if it's a public venue to somehow excuse Islam. You never see him get angry when people such as myself are killed. At Fort Hood, you had all these people killed by this man yelling Allah Akbar. And he had to make a comment, but basically it says it's workplace violence. He wasn't angry. The only time I ever see him getting angry is with groups that he identifies with. He got angry regarding Professor Gates because that was a black man, although the police were trying to protect him. He got angry regarding Trayvon Martin, saying that could have been my son, a black fella. He got angry regarding this incident in Ferguson, where I really think it was the policeman, his life was in jeopardy. The 6'4", the 300-pound Michael Brown was ready to take his gun. But then he gets angry. He gets angry when it comes to people, in his mind, not understanding Islam properly, giving it its respect. He gets angry not so much about innocent Americans dying, but us misinterpreting the real religion of peace that Islam, in his mind, is. So,
yeah.
Boils
back
to
that.
I don't expect much from him.
Yeah, comes back full circle in this conversation for sure. Rabbi Spiro, thanks so much. Appreciate the time always.
Hey, my pleasure.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will you.
We've been doing this cool thing for the past 6 months or so where it was inspired by Nathan Reeder, and it was because of something that he did. And it spawned this segment called Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done. And I love the dumb things that people are sending in. You just get better and better at telling me things that have happened in your life that maybe some of us can completely relate to or not. Some of these are pretty bad this time around. So once again, here at the tail end of the show, time for Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
I just shot myself.
Dum, 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 dum.
All right. Boy, an embarrassment of riches. This one from Donald, who says, "Hey, Katie Kate, girl, I like the show. Dumb things. I chuckle out loud. You move it all around the place. Find some static spot in the week so I know when to tune in. Always tune in. That's the answer to that." Okay, so Donald says, "I thought about it for a while, and I thought, you know, I've done some silly things, but I think they're things that everybody does, so I don't think it's anything particularly heinously offensive as far as being really, really dumb. And then I remember 5 years ago, I dropped the turkey at Thanksgiving. Ooh. Here's what happened, Kate. We carved the bird up in the kitchen. Lots of family members came to our house that year. There were 20 people. We had the biggest bird I've ever seen in my life. I don't even know how we got it in the oven. We had one oven, not double like some do. So once I carved it all up, it was on the platter, and I literally dropped it on the kitchen floor, which really wasn't clean. I know that 7-second rule thing and all of that, but I was sick to my stomach. I think we kind of politely brushed it off, and people did eat the turkey, but it didn't feel right to me. Ugh. I don't know, if you have a dirty floor, like I'm thinking, you know when your kitchen's dirty, so I don't know where Donald's from, but especially if you have snow or conditions and people are tromping in it, and you dump the turkey pieces on the floor. I know about the rule and all that. That's for kids. But, you know, it's one thing to drop a Cheeto on the floor. It's another thing to drop the whole meal on the floor and you're frantically picking it up. I don't know if that's silly. That why not? You know, our food's not pristine anyway, even as much as we might try. Oh, I would feel so bad. Oh, that would be the worst. Oh, the worst if you did it. It's funny, there's kind of a theme about food. I picked out a few things that people had sent about food that I thought, wow. Here's another one. This one is funny in a different way. This one comes to us from Tom, and Tom says, Kate, I finally have to admit to my dates that I don't like sushi. I don't care if they eat sushi. I don't care if it's sexy, cool, and an expensive thing to do on a date to make you look good and like you were somehow above the fray because you're not eating plain old steak. But I pretended I liked sushi to go out with this really cute girl. So we go to the sushi place, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I assume it's no big deal that you just point to a few things on the menu and order, but I really don't know what I'm doing. I didn't think about it ahead of time. And, you know, what's sushi? It's seaweed. It's wrapped up. And then they give us this green stuff, and I plopped a whole bunch of it on. I don't even know if she saw. I thought my head was going to explode. I was on fire. The entire restaurant was looking at me. I had no idea what it was. I had no idea what wasabi was. I really did a dumb thing. And I don't know if it was dumb partially because why pretend that I was Mr. Sushi? So maybe that was stupid in the first place. But at least not finding out more about sushi before I went to the restaurant. Oh, yeah. When you pretend you like something. Oh, yeah. You like liver and onions. Yeah, I like liver and onions. Great. I'm making it for dinner. Oh, I can't wait for you to come over. You like trout. Oh, yeah. The more bones in my fish, the better. Oh. You know what? I don't have my dumb thing with food isn't necessarily similar to that, except for that I dated a guy one time. He's the nicest guy ever. And he said, I want to cook you dinner. This is a long time ago. He said, I want to cook you dinner. Great. Terrific. So what's a guy going to make? I'm thinking, I don't know, spaghetti, burgers on the grill, chicken. No, that reference to trout. He had trout. He made trout. And the problem was, man, I like fish, but I don't like bony fish. It was a bony fish. Ah, I was going to choke to death on the bony fish. And then I was just, you know, what do you do? You just be polite. And I know some of you catch trout, cook trout, probably love it. I'm more of like flounder, grouper, red snapper, you know, not the stuff with all the bones in it anyway. Okay, here's another food one. This one is from Slam and Sammy. Hi, Kate. Long time. Dumb things. I've been saving this one up. Here's my dumb thing. So I got a rocky road. You know what a rocky road was? I was with my wife at the time. She was my fiance. We got a giant one. We were starving. We went hiking during the day, and I thought it'd be fun. Hey, let's stop at our favorite ice cream place. It's a big deal in town. We did. They're famous for their rocky road sundaes. We got the Sunday. We sat down at the table. The table wasn't level. Somehow it shifted, and the entire Sunday, which was like a boat-shaped Sunday, and it was a big one, fell all over her clothes, all over her lap. So it was on her shirt, and it was on her shorts. Yeah, that's bad. Oh, you got to, when you sit down at those tables, like at ice cream places, pizza places, you know, sometimes they're sketchy. They kind of rock a little bit. So you see people struggling with them. They put, and waitresses or waiters see it. Sometimes they have levels and they put the, you know, jam the thing underneath it. Oh, that would be bad. I mean, what are you going to do? It's an accident. It's a dumb thing, I guess, from the perspective of, yeah, you spilled it, and if you didn't check the table for shaking. But I don't know. That's kind of 50-50. You might get a little pass on that. Are you supposed to really know when the table's kind of shaky? And I mean, now we all do, right? Check for it. But having that whole Sunday fall all over you, oh, and then you know what happens. I mean, that's a sticky Sunday. It has all that like gooey caramel or whatever on it, and you'd just be immersed in it. What could you do? I mean, you'd have to, once you left, that's it. You're not going anywhere after that. You'd be a mess, even with the amount of rags and things that you could do, because it's not like just even a little ice cream on you. You know, they have those pens now. That'd be a good thing for you to carry around when you get a little stain. All right, now here's our last one. And the last one is dumb things I shouldn't have done. Kate, I decided to be cheap when I went to the grocery store. It just peeves me at how much I have to pay for bags. You know what I'm talking about. Those hefty bags. I know they're thick, they're great, they're durable, whatever nonsense they're selling to you, but it's ridiculous how much they cost. And I have a big family, we have a lot of trash. So I decided to go El Cheapo, and I don't even know what brand it was, but it was very sheer. So that was our bag. Things were kind of falling out of it. I should have gotten a hint there. It was trash day. It was loaded with all kinds of things from the refrigerator, things that had gone bad, other things that were rotten trash. And we must have had 14 bags of trash. I put the 14 bags of trash out at night, not in the morning, because I was sleeping in. I had worked late. So that's what I did. And lo and behold, the trash was torn up everywhere. I mean, it was spreading into my neighbor's yard, in my yard, into my other neighbor's yard. Nobody was happy with me, and nobody was as unhappy as I was, because then I have to get up and pick up all the trash. Broken eggs, leftover meat, a little bit of dog food. Oh, it was nasty. I had to take a shower afterwards. Yeah, there's a reason why you want a durable bag. I mean, I don't care what brand it is. Being cheap on the trash bag when you have a big family, that's never, never a good thing. All right, if you've done something dumb, I'm just betting you have, send it to me, americatonight.net.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.